If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at CaliforniaPsychics.com.
It's always been diet and exercise. Why not diet, exercise, brush, and floss? Or how about diet, exercise, brush, floss, and see your dentist for regular exams? It may not roll off the tongue, but there are far worse things that could be rolling off your tongue, right down to your heart. Like the very same bacteria that's linked to heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and more. And by the way, to find a dentist nearby, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and learn more about how oral health links to overall wellness so you can live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everybody, it's Gavin Spittle. Welcome to our Q&A part two. Your questions, your opinions, hopefully some good answers from myself, Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan, and of course, our guest who's here for this Q&A session. He writes for D Magazine. His Stars Substack is at Starstack. He has a brand new Substack called Sticks and Salvos, in which he discusses the NHL and a whole bunch of analytics in there as well. It's the greatness of David Castillo, my friend. Part two. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm curious, like, what new territory we can carve out. And by the way, like, stick tap to the high energy and the love that I hear in your voice every single time you do your intro.
Thanks, man. You know, I get excited when people are this excited about hockey this time of year. I really do.
Wait, are they excited or are they just like energetic and opinionated?
Both. Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I love this. I love, you know, the post games get a little tough after a while, you know, because you'd like some days off. But the fact that so many people out there are responding, I really want to do a Spits and Suds event. I just want to do like a hang and get you, Sean, Robert, Leah Simakopoulos, you know, Mike Hike. If I can get everyone together, it'd be so cool to do like a forum. So that's where, you know, I would love to do in the future. But just thinking big, buddy. And we got to come out with some Spits and Suds cool merchandise, which David Castillo can wear proudly.
Well, I mean, how long is Spits and Suds going to be the title of the show, I guess, first question.
Well, wait a minute. Why? You want to change it? Spits and Castillo or something? What's going on?
I mean, that was my first thought.
I like it. Yeah, I'm fine. Anything. Yeah. All right. yeah. I mean, if I don't know, it's just kind of, it's not catchy anymore. It's better than first name. Our first pod was called Sweaters Forever.
What?
Yeah. When we started this, it was called Sweaters Forever. And then Craig came on board. And before Craig went on to, you know, great things, he said, let's call it Spits and Suds. And I said, okay.
Sweaters Forever. I can't get over how awful that is. But let me just say, I think I finally found like one of those like lazy hockey nicknames for myself. And I would say Spits and Stills. I think kind of sounds like an old like 60s rock band. I think that's sounds good.
I like that. Stills and Spits might sound better. No, Spits and Stills and yeah. Spits and Shaps for Sean.
I mean, is this why people came here though?
Yeah, Spits and Tiffs. That's good.
Oh man, he has such a great last name for this kind of stuff.
He does.
I'm jealous. It annoys me. Screw you, Robert.
And yeah, and to his credit, he's the one that came up with the great podcast of Justin Ritzkovian and Gavin Spittle, Spitzy and Ritzy. So we'll see if we can pull that together in training camp. Okay.
I don't know about that. But
let's start with our friend Flo Wee. So before we get to his question, Florian Wiesel, one of my favorites as far as spits and suts, I asked him, will you be hanging up the skates or will you be playing for another year? For those that don't know, he won the Italian Cup, professional hockey player, and proud to announce that he signed for another year, season number 21. How about that? That's pretty awesome. So hopefully another Italian Cup coming to Spits and Suds. But definitely wanted to shout out my man Wiesel. David, can you get permission from the wife to travel to Italy with me to go visit Florian and catch a game? We can write it off on our taxes because technically we're scouting.
I think it has more to do with whether or not, I'm going to be employed in the future.
Oh, okay.
So, yes, as long as the money's there, I think that would be awesome.
All right, awesome. Well, stick tap, Florian. Can't wait to meet you in person. Okay, so he asks, I think some people are underestimating Nils Lundqvist and Maverick Bork. Specifically, Bork will get better opportunities, hopefully some power play time. I expect 50 to 60 points from him next year. David, I think that's a really interesting point that Florian brings up, because those are two of my need to take the next step with these players. Otherwise, you are taking a step back. Specifically, a lot of pressure on Maverick Bork, but I'm excited for Maverick Bork. He's going, if he's getting the opportunity on an everyday basis to be in this lineup.
So, I agree about Bork. I was really sports frustration, sports mad over kind of how he was kind of handled, because I just felt like when you look at his underlying numbers, right, this is a player that had really strong defensive impacts on a team that struggled defensively. Like, not enough people talk about, well, maybe they do, but I'm just like, I just have ignored that. But Dallas was not good defensively this year. I repeat, they were not good. 22nd in shot quality allowed per 60. That's not good at all. So whatever job the goaltenders did to kind of, make it seem like they were good defensively, they weren't. And so for Bork to have strong defensive impacts in terms of like shots against, shot quality against, is a really great sign for a player that we know has offense in him. And even though that didn't really show up, I think a lot of it had to do with kind of, him being like yo-yoed in the bottom six. And also, this is a player that does not take penalties and drew penalties. Dallas doesn't have a lot of forwards that are good at drawing penalties, which I think is a big deal. I mean, if you're a player that in limited minutes can put your team on the power play and not put them on the penalty kill, that's value added. Yep. So I'm 100% on board with Bork. I think if he had played the full 82, people would kind of be maybe a little bit more optimistic. Lundqvist, I'm like not just, oh man, I really like Lundqvist. And I think there is a world where he is a valuable defender with the right teammate on the right team and in the right system. I just don't really know that this is the team, right? I mean, Dallas is a team that, Esslundell is a very specific defender. You can't just pair him with anybody. So even though Lundqvist, had some success with Esslundell, his minutes were still kind of relatively meager. And I don't think that's a defense pair that's realistic, like in a high pressure, playoff setting. And even though I think he's going to be fine next to someone like Leon Bichelle, that's still a defense pair that is, I think, still has question marks. So I think he's going to look fine. He's going to look maybe even great next to Bichelle, but that's still very different than like this guy has a next level, which I don't believe he has.
Do you think he could provide a little bit of punch though, as far as puck moving ability with Bichelle on that third line and maybe even some scoring from defense? He likes to shoot.
Okay, so that's the thing, right? Like, he's not a puck mover. Like, to me, it's not pedantic to say that a guy that can't move the puck out of the zone, either with speed or outlet passing, is not a puck mover. I think that's kind of who he is. It's odd. It's kind of a little bit of a paradox. But Yes, like Lundqvist is very good in the offensive zone when it comes to kind of making plays and being able to shoot the puck, but he's not a puck mover. So, I mean, that just makes him something else. That's not really a criticism. I just don't think that he is what I think either the Stars fans or even the team thought he was going to develop into when they got him. I think they had probably hoped that he would develop that part of his game, and it just really hasn't. You see it in the micro stats as well. Like, this is a player that just isn't able to get out of the defensive zone with possession. Again, it's strange for a player with his profile, but I think that's just kind of his birthright, as odd as it sounds.
Christopher DeHardy, at C. DeHardy. I wonder how the call-ups and sending back down works logistically with AHL play. Do the players move into apartments the team owns, or do they have to find their own residences? Also wondering if they have to pack up a lot of things because of how often they move up and down. That is a really, really interesting question, Christopher. So they stay in hotels, and they don't necessarily get apartments. Texas might have a different situation as far as when players go there, but I know in Dallas, it's a hotel situation. I don't want to say the hotel. It is close to the AAC, and that's where they kind of set up shop. As far as clothing, you know, just pack the necessities, and a lot of times you can have the rest shipped. These guys are so good as far as the business sense. They can pack up really quick as long as their equipment's there. That's really their biggest concern. They have to find their own residences, obviously, in the off season. Like Mikko Rantanen can do whatever he wants now, but you know, he was staying at a hotel. And a lot of times, if they're young players and if they're up for a while, it's the Wyatt Johnston, Joe Pavelski example, where a young guy, specifically if he's under the age of 21, will usually stay with the veteran. A, so he can learn. B, so he can, you know, kind of get his life together, because that's a lot for a kid under 21. So how did I do, David?
Pretty well. I think also you should have plugged the interview you had with Stephen Meserve, where he kind of talks a lot about, kind of it goes through some of the X's and O's about like moving, specifically like how hockey players like get all their equipment through the airport. That was a really great episode.
Yeah, that was really cool. Yeah, absolutely. And to the Stars' benefit, they own the Texas Stars. And that has benefits in a lot of ways. But one of the cool things is Cedar Park, that area in, you know, just outside of Austin, is a very nice place. So with a lot of apartments and everything like that. So that's cool as well. It's a good setup that Dallas has, and it's not too far away compared to some AHL to NHL cities where a flight is a necessity. Okay, Mr. Don Dong Esquire. Foxa, why? Will Nil ever learn to stop giving them term to the last 4 to 5 guys in the lineup? What kind of deployment would make Labushkin serviceable for 65 to 70 games? Do you believe in Nils? I'll hang up and listen. That has so much. Foxa, David and I don't understand. I thought, David, you did an amazing job in one of our previous episodes talking about, is Foxa that valuable as far as faceoffs are concerned? As far as the back half, I mean, he gave my guy Blackwell 2 years, so I like that. Labushkin, that's fascinating, David, because if we look at the beginning of the season, I actually thought Labushkin was playing pretty well. Seems as though it kind of wore out after a while.
Yeah, it's tough, because I think there's like a world where Labushkin is kind of fine. Like, for example, if like Esselindel were, say, more of like a puck move-in type defenseman, or kind of like a hybrid, you know, like a Keandre Miller, I think someone like Labushkin would look a lot better in the top four. But Dallas doesn't have that. I think if they were to separate Harley and Heiskanen, which is entirely possible, we see, you know, I think Labushkin kind of gives you a little bit more, because I think he's still pretty reasonable when it comes to defense. I think the issue is just that, like, and I get it, we don't have to kind of go over this because it's something that, it's a problem. We're already aware of it, but it's not anything you can change at this point. But I mean, it's kind of like, well, the value added in proportion to cap, right? Do you need to pay over $3 million for a guy who will give you the same thing as, say, Alex Petrovic, who is making like close to league minimum? And of course, the answer is no, right? So, I mean, that's the tough thing about Lyubushkin, which is that I think he's fine. And I think people would be willing to accept him in any other universe where he's just being paid $1 million, even $2 million. But, you know, Dallas is in a situation where, you know, Lyubushkin could be like the eighth defender in the depth chart. That is not exactly a ringing endorsement.
Yeah, that's a good call. That's a really good call. That is not a ringing endorsement. And sitting out for the majority of the playoffs is not a ringing endorsement as well. Chris at Masker of Ants asks, who should the Stars sign, David, out of Jack Roslovic or Victor Olofsson? And are either guys a realistic option for the top six, which has a hole in it? If not either of those guys, which young guy can step in on that spot? Really good question, Chris.
Yeah, and I would say that I would say neither one of them. Like, I don't really, and this is not really about the players. I think Roslovic and Olofsson add offensive punch that, you know, Dallas could use. However, you know, the problem with these players is that they're very one-dimensional. And so, you know, one of the reasons why, you know, they've kind of bounced around, and one of the reasons why, you know, Vegas and Carolina, you know, didn't really kind of find space for them. And that's something that Dallas already has an issue with, right? So to me, players like that, even though I think they could be valuable in the right scenario, still kind of leave something to be desired with a team that's already struggling to find chemistry, right? I mean, Dallas needs legit play driving forwards, you know, like a Warren Fogel or like Mattias Micheli. Unfortunately, he already went to Toronto, but like that to me is what Dallas really needed. Players like Olofsson, Roslovic, I think they kind of complement or they complicate the issue that Dallas has in trying to create these chemistries. Players that are going to really need as much support as possible is what Dallas like can't be looking for right now.
Okay, Ron asks, which player from Cedar Park do you think is most likely to earn a spot on the roster, if any? We did answer that earlier in part one of Q&A, but let's highlight that in case you didn't hear it. Would it strictly be a fourth line role, or is there potentially a complementary piece? My opinion was Ritzkovian. I think got a little bit of experience last year. I could see him coming up. David thought it was going to be Arttu Huru, based on a little bit more scoring punch coming out of Huru than Ritzkovian. So those were our answers. Great question, Ron. I did want to say hi to Aaliyah. She does such a great job promoting Spits and Suds, and thank you so much for listening. She doesn't want to talk about team structure or stat related. She's always interested in what direction everyone would like the new third jersey to go. David, tons of feedback on this new third jersey. That is fascinating. Aaliyah, I'm just going to keep pounding it. I want that Winter Classic back. I love the green. I love the big D. And if not, I do want something. I like how the other teams in other leagues, specifically NBA and MLB, have the City Connect. And I would like it something to be Metroplex connected. Maybe not David Castillo Crowley connected, but, you know, connected. That was from episode one, by the way, where David thinks Crowley's in Fort Worth for some reason. All right. Let's see. Noah Brown asked, do y'all think the Stars have gotten better this offseason so far? If not, what else do you think they could add to improve? Thanks. Love the pod. Excited for next season. I'm glad you're excited, Noah. Boy, at this stage, David, what can they add? It would have to be via trade likely, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing on the UFA market that's going to make them better or better enough to kind of, you know, be back into another Western Conference Finals with, you know, good odds to, you know, beat a team like Florida or even Carolina for that matter. So it's got to be through trade. I think someone like, okay, so let me ask you a question that I got from the Discord, because I think it's going to kind of
question with a question
segue. Yes. So this is from Meme Boy 007 on my Discord server, which is, Gavin, who is your ideal candidate for Dallas to make a move for? And just kind of like, you know, forget whether or not, you know, cap, assets, things like that. But like, who would be the one player that you think really kind of puts Dallas over the top with the roster they have now?
Brady Tkachuk.
God dang it. Why do we do this to ourselves? I mean, okay, so.
I mean, you asked. Semi-realistic. Wait a minute. You said that to me. So, I mean, of course I'm going to say that. I mean, why not say Connor McDavid? I just think a Kachuk adds a lot. But, all right, since we're being realistic.
Semi-realistic.
And we're talking this year, and only this year, because it will be costly after, Rasmus Anderson. I like the player. I think it really helps your defense. So, Rasmus Anderson.
Oh, man. My worry with Anderson, and so, I think Anderson, like most of us, you know, have kind of like always wanted a right shot defenseman, have kind of been looking at Anderson for a while. Yes, like he hit a really bad decline this year. Now, it turns out, like we found out, like he played like the last stretch of games, like with a broken fibula, which is insane. So I don't necessarily think like Anderson has, even though he's declining, I don't think it's as dramatic as this season would make it seem. I guess my issue with Anderson is that, like, I feel like the thing they're going to do is they're going to put Anderson next to Eslandell. And I just feel like if Anderson is not the player he once was, then you are just simply right back where you started. And I really think that the move is to find a defense partner for Thomas Harley. Put Eslandell in the top pair with Miro Heiskanen, find someone for Harley. That way teams are seeing Harley and Heiskanen over 40 minutes a night, as opposed to like 23 minutes a night. And so that's why, to me, someone like Rasmus Ristolainen makes more sense. Now, is that the move that puts him over the top? No, not really. I mean, there's still questions about his health as well, right? Ristolainen is another player that's been injured lately. But that's what worries me about Anderson. Like, they put him with Lindell and they're just not a great defense pair because Anderson has maybe lost some of that puck movement ability. That's my worry.
So who would be a right-hand defenseman then you would cover, David?
I mean, besides Michael Kesslering.
Man, that would be amazing. Look out. I mean, hey, listen. The thing I worry about with Buffalo is not necessarily Buffalo. It's that darn division is so tough. I just don't know if they can crack the playoffs because of that situation. But I do think Buffalo improved themselves.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think people, you know, love dunking on Buffalo, and that's why, you know, they for some reason criticize that move. But like, I think Kesslering is fantastic. He's the ideal breakout candidate. This is exactly the kind of player that I wish Jim Nill and his pro scouts would identify and target more often, but don't because, well, I guess he doesn't have a resume and he's not 40 years old. But I mean, there are not a lot of players that really kind of move the needle in terms of like realistic options. And that's why Kesslering was like, why I love the idea of Kesslering so much, because he was a realistic target and he is someone that, you know, you could see being, you know, turning into that, you know, legit top four defenseman that adds size as well as skill into the lineup. But, you know, at this point, we're just kind of, you know, crying over spilled milk.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's.
No, we are. My name is not Damien says, do you foresee the Stars posturing for an attempt to get Connor McDavid next season? Oilers staff hires along with the Sagan contract expiring and the cap raising. Is it a possibility? Also, do you think the Stars fans are overvaluing the importance of acquiring a right-handed defenseman to play with Miro? Okay. So John and I, if you listen to Friday's podcast, did a deep dive on right versus left and is it overblown? So rather than not get in a big debate with David Castillo, I would encourage you to go back to listen to Friday's Spits and Suds and learn what Sean has to say about RHD versus LHD. So I also talked to Craig Ludwig about it too. So some interesting thoughts. I'm just going to leave it as I think it is a little overblown. ultimately, it would be cool to have a right-handed defenseman, but Matt Dumba was a right-handed defenseman, right? And look how that turned out. So it's not necessarily the side you shoot. You need a good player in there as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's also about, like, you know, the kind of type of style. You know, this was something we saw in the Stanley Cup Finals, right, where you had Florida, who was a team that wanted their defensemen to handle the puck as little as possible, versus Edmonton, that wanted their defensemen to handle it as much as they could, right? Maybe I got that. Florida, right, you know, their defensemen handled the puck as little as possible. Edmonton was the reverse. So I think a lot of this really comes down to, granted, I apologize for, you know, not getting to that episode just yet. I do listen to Spits and Suds.
Thank you.
But I think the kind of system has a lot to do with it, and as well as the player types. You know, like, if you have a shutdown defender playing their offside, who's just like chipping the puck and rimming the puck along the boards, that's not a big deal. That's why, like, I would like to see Eslandell put on his weak side, because, you know, his value is in playing the gap and that kind of, you know, rush defense, you know, and, you know, that we've known him for, as opposed to, you know, facilitating the puck through the neutral zone, which he doesn't do well at all. And so I don't think you lose anything in that scenario. But at the same time, like, you know, it's, I mean, you look at a lot of these, you know, they look at Florida, right? I mean, I think the fact that they had symmetry on their blue line wasn't the main factor. The main factor is that these were good defensemen, but also I do think there is, I think with the way they play and how quickly they move to the neutral zone, I think having players on their strong sides does add to that. Is it the be an end all of, like, you know, how to, like, format a blue line? No, of course not. But depending on how a team plays, I do think you can maximize, you know, your system and your tactics, you know, with that symmetry.
I'm not necessarily sure if the math works out with Connor McDavid in the next contract. Outstanding player. Of course, any team would love to have him. You would just have to, I mean, I understand the cap's going up, but it's not going up enough to afford all these players. So you would have to make some changes in order to do that. But it certainly would be interesting, wouldn't it, now, having Connor McDavid and Mikko Rantanen on the same team. But making an attempt, I think every team will make an attempt. My name is not Damian. They're not doing their job if they're not at least making phone calls and seeing if they can't figure it out. I mean, he's one of the greats to ever play. So if you have a chance to get a guy like that on your roster, you are going to have some team meetings internally and try to figure it out. So in that scenario, yes, I could see them having discussions. But let me throw that caveat once again. Every team will have these discussions. All right. Michael says, how does this roster stack up to last year's? Have the Stars taken a step back and lost draft picks? Well, Michael, I would say that it's very tough to compare year to year. I would say they've taken a step back, but I do think because of the LTIR, long-term injured reserve, that allowed you to get Granlund, CeCe, Rantanen, and fit them all in the cap along with the players that you had. So I think it would be pretty tough to maneuver your roster to equal last year's. What do you think, David?
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of the reality, right? Which is that, you know, Dallas really kind of, they shot their shot this season, and it didn't work. And yeah, I mean, they're not going to be as good as they were last season. Now, that doesn't mean that Jim Neal doesn't have anything planned. Just that, like, even if you assume some dramatic scenario where they trade Jason Robertson, like, I mean, I don't. It's hard to envision, you know, the team being capable of that much more when there are so many things that could also break against them. Right, we all, like, kind of try to emphasize the importance of, you know, Wyatt Johnston and Lundqvist and Bork and, you know, Bischel taking next steps. But for the most part, like, their roles are kind of set. You know, Johnston is going to be in the top six, and that's great. Maverick Bork, you know, we don't know where he's going to go. Unless they, you know, get Lindell to, you know, move his no movement clause, like, how does Bichel factor into the top four? Like, he doesn't.
Yeah.
And so, and then in addition, you have players like Duchesne, like, you know, even like Hintz and Rantanen. You know, these are players that, you know, they'll give you like really good seasons, but expecting them to be better or like, you know, being 100-point players or kind of pretending like they have some untapped potential and we have like two more seasons where we can expect them to get better, as is the case with someone like Johnson or Harley, it's just not the case. And that's just wishful thinking. So I even though I think they're going to be a really good team, there's a playoff lock, you know, they're going to be a contender, but they're just not going to be a cup favorite like they were last season or even the season before. So
Nick Sellers, thoughts on a potential Miro Bichel pairing? I feel like I remember seeing them together a bit during the playoffs with really good results. I wanted to get that question in to pair it with what you were just saying.
Oh man, I think the world of Bichel, I always have, like, even as a prospect. But it would be a lot to ask for him. I mean, just because he doesn't. And it's not necessarily, you know, you can, of course, you know, the same thing they did with Lundqvist, right? Lundqvist played in the quote unquote top four, but he did not get top 4 minutes. So something like that I could see working. I think it's just a question of, would they be willing to take that chance? You know, this is not an organization that tends to risk stuff like that, especially with their young defensemen. Dallas is very particular about, you know, how to develop, you know, young defensemen. And I think the other thing is like, well, you know, who is your defense partner with Harley? Is it Eslandell on his weak side? Like, even though I think like that's just obvious and they should try it, and I can't imagine why that would be a problem, it's still not something Dallas has ever done, right? I mean, you know, they never, it was never on the table to put like Lindell on his weak side when he was paired with, you know, Heiskanen briefly. And so, I mean, is there something like, does Eslandell just not want to play there? Like, is there something there that we just don't know, that, you know, has not put that on the table? I don't know.
Rupert asks, Gavin, David, what do you do to kill time during the off season? Also, what are your thoughts on Maverick Bork's potential for this upcoming season? We talked about Maverick Bork, and I think this is the time for Maverick Bork to shine. I think just regular lineup minutes will just do him so well, rather than healthy scratches, which we face. David's a big Maverick Bork guy. I like Bork a lot. I like his work in the corners. You know, obviously would love to see the scoring touch. We did hear from earlier in this podcast how we talked about, you know, he thinks that maybe Bork's even a 50, 60 point guy. That would be amazing if he could flourish. Now, Bork is a restricted free agent after this year, but we can deal with that then. As far as killing time in the off season, David, what kinds of things? You're a gamer. I know that, right?
When it comes to Magic the Gathering, yes. It is a card game that I love dearly, and I like to play modern competitive, but I mean, it's, you know, like, I'm a writer, right? So my hobbies are very boring. I like to read a lot, mostly nonfiction, but a little bit of science fiction. I finally finished the sequel to Hyperion, which is The Fall of Hyperion by Dan Simmons, and man, it was awful. It's like 300 pages of people trekking in this interstellar mountain ranges. And that sucks. I mean, for those that are maybe new to science fiction or maybe like haven't read the original, Hyperion's pretty good. It's basically sci-fi space opera meets the Canterbury Tales, and kind of it lived up to the hype in unexpected ways, even though like I hated the ending and it's not my favorite sci-fi book or anything like that. But it's always a gaming guy. Wait, what?
Spend time with the wife guy. That's you, right?
No. And my wife knew that, you know, before we got married. So we have a nice arrangement.
Wow. Your Riz game must have been pretty good then. Nice job. Nice job.
I would definitely not say that, but I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for the question on a personal level. I appreciate that. My off season. So I've been doing this training regimen, proud to say 25 pounds down. Not that I had to lose it, but, I'm a lean, mean fighting machine now. love my new diet, love everything. So I'm like a very active, I love to hike. I love to off season, love to work on some charity projects and help the DFW community, which has been really good to me. I just fostered and took in a foster dog, which, by the way, if you want to adopt, he's a great hockey dog. His name's Kelpie. Hit me up on Twitter. Amazing dog, like amazing. And for those that don't know, I have a special needs dog, who got shot, and not by me, but was shot and dropped off at the shelter. So that takes up a lot of my time, having a special needs dog in the house. I have to take care of him. But he's the love of my life and he's absolutely amazing. So that takes up a lot of my time. And I just love going out in DFW fairs, festivals. I'm kind of a go out kind of guy. So there you go, David. That's about me.
Would you want to do some rock climbing?
So I would, but I need to be harnessed up well.
Well, I mean, that goes without saying.
Man,
we're not going to freeze it. We're not Alex Honnold. We're not going to be solo.
I'm telling you, when I lived in Vegas, and I would go like up into the mountains, Red Rock Canyon, beautiful, just absolutely beautiful. And I'd go and I'd see these people free climbing and I'm like, wow, this is amazing. Like, what is the difference between just putting a harness on?
It's always been diet and exercise. Why not diet, exercise, brush, and floss? Or how about diet, exercise, brush, floss, and see your dentist for regular exams? It may not roll off the tongue, but there are far worse things that could be rolling off your tongue, right down to your heart. Like the very same bacteria that's linked to heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and more. And by the way, to find a dentist nearby, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and learn more about how oral health links to overall wellness so you can live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, I think the difference is, I think for some people, it's kind of a spiritual, because it's the challenge. It's something spiritual. And I don't make any judgments on people okay. that want to kind of, sort of. I mean, I don't see that any different than the sort of dangerous drives we make on our way to work every single day.
I think it's a little safer, but is that your invite to like get together and hang and talk hockey and free climb?
I would love, I don't want to free solo, okay. but I would love to do some mountain climbing. I don't have a partner to do that with. I'm like, well, maybe Gavin is into that. If he likes to hike.
I love to hike.
Surely
yeah.
He's not afraid of heights.
No, I love to hike. I prefer hiking over climbing, but I mean, I'm game for it. Let's do one of the indoor hike things first.
Indoor hiking?
I'm sorry. Indoor, I'm indoor like, climbing. Indoor climbing. Yeah. It's a new invention. It's called a treadmill. All right. Back to the Q&As. All right. Let's see. Go Get Him Tom asks, could you see the Stars going after someone like Victor Olofsson later in the summer as a PTO candidate if he doesn't get signed and they want some middle six insurance? David, give us the rundown, your thoughts on Olofsson.
Yeah, so Olofsson is, for those that maybe like aren't familiar with him, like during his tenure with Buffalo especially, where it looked like he would kind of really turn into something at his time with Vegas. I mean, this is like, he is the ultimate specialist. He's a winger that has just an absolutely nasty one-timer from the right dots, and that's basically all you're getting, right? You're getting a guy that can shoot from the dots and hit the mark more often than not, so which makes him typically a power play specialist. In Dallas, you know, he would be on the second unit. And so I wouldn't mind as a PTO, like, absolutely. Like he's just a guy that I don't think you want to give term to, but as someone you take a flyer on, especially for a team like Dallas that kind of could use offensive pop, especially if they kept someone like Duchesne and Sagan together, I could see like, That line would give up so much offense the other way, but they would kind of be like a supercharged version of like Marchment, Duchesne, Sagan, I think.
Joe asks, what would be a realistic trade package for Rasmus Anderson? Rasmus Anderson is up after this upcoming year.
Oh, man. I honestly think they're going to be looking for like a pick and a prospect. It's kind of one of the reasons why I don't really see Dallas as a realistic target. Not just because Anderson is like, you know, said that he wants to, you know, go to Vegas, but also because Dallas doesn't have assets to give and they can't just take on cap without, move in cap the other way. And except for Lyubushkin, like they don't really have that. They might have had something close to being able to kind of take his full cap if they hadn't traded for Radifaxa, but what's done is done. And that wasn't like a way to like dig the Faxa contract again. I don't hate the Faxa contract that much. I think that's what you're most likely looking at. And so that's why I don't think Anderson is that realistic. I mean, Dallas Fair. As is barely have any assets to give away.
Yeah.
And so, Calgary's rebuilding, right? They're not going to take on like a, you know, some like, you know, Midland, contract back just to take cap back.
Well, and that's one of the things that when I talked about trading Robertson and people were like, that's not enough. I wanted some draft capital in return because I want to start building that draft capital up, because that's what made this current Stars roster is draft picks. And I want second rounders. I want third rounders. And right now they just don't have that. Let's see. It's interesting that Joe asks the question and then Vadim Kai asks the following question, because David brings up Faxa. Why did they let Blumel walk free? Now, interesting question. David did bring it up on this Q&A section, but Blumel signs a 1-year, $875,000 contract with the Bruins. Had an outstanding year with the Texas Stars. Steven Meserve talked about how his defensive game had gotten a lot better. But my point is, and this is nothing against Antonio Strangis, but Strangis basically signed for $100,000 less than Blumel. And it is interesting that you go and sign Faxa, but you can't keep a guy who has shown improvement in Blumel, who might make the Boston roster.
So maybe I do hate the Faxa contract. I mean, that was kind of the thing that I think sort of people, I think for the most part, kind of criticized Dallas for that didn't really kind of make sense, which is that the Texas Stars don't necessarily have a lot of players that I think could realistically make a positive impact on the Dallas roster like right now. But to the extent that they had one, Blumel was it, right? And so it was weird that like what came out, you know, afterwards was just like, well, Dallas doesn't really have room for Blumel, whereas Boston does. And I'm just like, Dallas could use like some bottom six forwards. Like they're kind of lacking in that area. I mean, even a player like Oscar Beck, you know, is by no means like a given on the bottom six, even though I think he will be. But, you know, Blackwell is also somebody that was healthy scratch, you know, whether or not he should have been. Like, so it's not like Dallas did not have space for a player. I think because Blumel showed that development, like this is a player that I didn't really even care for, you know, going before the year started. But as he developed, you know, as he got better and just developed new wrinkles in this game, then all of a sudden I was like, hey, this is a player that Dallas should absolutely kind of make room for, even if he doesn't turn into anything, like, what are you really losing? Like, you're, if a player is not great in a fourth line role and sheltered minutes, that's not the end of the world. Like, you don't need to treat the fourth line like this life or death scenario. Florida certainly doesn't. I mean, like, they don't have the best players on their fourth line. It's because they don't care. Like, they just, somebody that can give them like a warm shift, you know, AJ Greer, like Gadjevich, these are not like elite fourth liners, but you don't need that on your fourth line. You don't need to overthink who goes on your fourth line, just somebody that can give you a hot shift or two. That's it.
James D asks, what does David do during the NHL offseason? Well, I guess rock climbing with Gavin. Okay. Unless you want to teach
we haven't gotten there yet.
Do you want to teach me that card game? I'll play with you.
I mean, the thing with Magic the Gathering, though, is that, like, I like to play competitive. So, I mean,
oh my God.
I'm not sure I could, like, handle the, you know, having to kind of introduce
folks,
you to.
This reminds me of my dating life, where currently David is telling me no in all aspects. So he brings up rock climbing and I say, all right, I'm in. And he's like, well, we haven't really got there yet. I find what David is fascinating with most with this card game. And he's like, well, I don't really play. He's taking better offers than Gavin. That's what it is. Okay. So, James, that answers your question. Thank you so much for the Q&A. I appreciate it. Diamond Dave, does my nephew Bertucci play any games in the show this year? Meaning Tristan Bertucci.
That is an awesome question, by the way. Like, I just want to shout this one out because this is... even though I don't know if Diamond Dave is actually asking because he genuinely believes like Bertucci is NHL quality or just that, well, it's his nephew and, like, you know, he's obviously got a bias towards him. But like, so Bertucci is definitely not going to see time in the show just because, you know, kind of the way Dallas's depth kind of works out. There's just not going to be room for him. However, I think Bertucci, that was a pick I didn't even like. And the way he's developed, how good he was, especially next to Kayshon Aitchison for the Barrie Colts, who went to the Islanders 16th overall, I think, or 17th overall this year, has just been fantastic. You're talking about like a smooth skating kind of, you know, three zone defender who has both offense and defense in his game. Now, he's still kind of rough in terms of, you know, playing like, you know, tough in the corners and things like that. His offensive ceiling is limited because I don't think he's like necessarily creative, but this is a player, like if Bixel ever like moves into the top four, like Bertucci is exactly the kind of defender you would want on that bottom pair. I think he's excellent. I can't wait to see kind of what his development looks like this year.
Okay, and let's end it with Jack83. The endless speculation about Jason Robertson's future as a star is killing me at this point. What are the chances we trade him? I would say pretty low at this point. Never say never, though. Regardless, when do you think we will know one way or the other? I think this is what I think, and we won't necessarily know. When will the discussions begin with Robertson's camp and the Stars? Because that to me will tell the Stars whether or not they're close. I think the Stars would like to hold Robertson at $10 million or under. I think Robertson's camp wants more. Second part, Jack says, without any significant upgrades additions made this offseason, losses like Granlin and Marchment, what are the chances that we were able to get further as we did last season? Doesn't seem like a new head coach will move the needle that much. That's going to be the question. That's the unknown. I do will say this, Jack. I don't know if David agrees. I do like what Gullitson has done as far as opening himself up to new ideas. I think we're hearing now that it was Pete DeBoer's show and Pete DeBoer ran every, you know, like he told Elaine Nazardine, this is the defensive system I want to run. Go run it. Now I'm interested to see, does the defense change at all with Nazardine? Does the power play change at all with Neil Graham? And, you know, what does this coaching staff bring to the table? So it, to me, it's fascinating, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's well, I mean, we do know, well, you know, Jeff Merrick's kind of coverage, you know, the kind of insider coverage on these rumors has been kind of bizarre. Like some of the comments he's made, like for example, like, oh, you know, I don't know, as has been explained to me, I don't know if Dallas wants to give term to players that are bad skaters. I'm like, what? Anyways, so I like anything Merrick says, you know, take it with a grain of salt. I realize, you know, he's kind of a respectable insider. But if you don't take his word with a grain of salt and do think kind of what he's saying is true, then, you know, he's already kind of said, right, which is that, you know, we will find out soon, right? We're going to find out before August if Dallas wants to move forward with that contract and, you know, if that's a part of their future or not, right? So if something does happen, you know, it'll happen, you know, relatively like soon within the next couple of weeks. Again, take of that what you will, but that's what Merrick has said, at least.
It's always been diet and exercise. Why not diet, exercise, brush, and floss? Or how about diet, exercise, brush, floss, and see your dentist for regular exams? It may not roll off the tongue, but there are far worse things that could be rolling off your tongue, right down to your heart. Like the very same bacteria that's linked to heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and more. And by the way, to find a dentist nearby, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and learn more about how oral health links to overall wellness so you can live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Huge stick tap to David Castillo for this Q&A part two, part one, for taking the time. Everyone, read his stuff in D Magazine. Follow him at David Castillo. He's got two Substacks, one that focuses on the NHL, one that focuses on the Stars. At Stars Stack, that's his Substack that focuses on the Stars. Sticks and Salvos is his brand new Substack that he talks about the NHL and more. You're absolutely a beast. I mean that sincerely. Even though you won't go rock climbing with me, I do love you, my man. Thank you so much for this Q&A. This has been really, really cool for Stars fans to reach out with your opinions, with your questions. And thanks to each and every one of you. This has been absolutely amazing. The fact that we can sit here in July and really have a good deep dive on this Stars team, on salary caps, on potential trades. Hockey is alive and well in DFW. Thanks so much, David.
Thank you.
And that's going to do it for another edition of Spits and Suds. We two in the books this week, and we got more to come. Of course we do. No offseason for Spits and Suds. Let's have some fun. Let's talk hockey. Let's talk Stars. We'll be back with another episode soon. Until then, have a great day, everyone.
Hey, I'm gum disease. You may know me by my formal name, periodontal disease. No? I can't believe this. No respect. Same story everywhere I go. Over half of all adults in America live with me, and they act like they don't even know I exist. I mean, come on. Whole body health? I am gum disease. I am literally linked to almost every major disease. Diabetes, heart disease, Alzheimer's. You can't just ignore me.
Find a dentist near you committed to caring about all of you. Visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.